Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Welcome back to the Home with Havila podcast. We're so glad you're here. Happy July. We hope that you're enjoying whatever your July looks like. If you're doing summer vacations with your family and friends, if you're just resting and enjoying some time off, some downtime, or if you're doing all the activities, we hope that you are having a blessed summer. And we are going to jump into part two of the intentional behavior series here shortly. But I wanted to share some exciting news that Havila's author school is back. For the third time, she is hosting another class of authors. And here's the thing, here is the guarantee, which is so exciting. In just 4 short months, she is guaranteeing that you're gonna be holding your finished first draft in your hands. That's a money back guarantee. So if you've been wanting to write a book, if you need help finishing writing your book, you have to go check out HavilasAuthorSchool.com. There's details on there. You can apply on there. It's limited to 100 authors, and we are already having applications rolling in. So make sure you head over there, HavilasAuthorSchool.com. You'll find the link in the show notes too. But this is for you if you know you're supposed to write a book, if you have the idea for the book, if you just feel that calling, or if you've even started one and you need help finishing it. We have so many amazing testimonies, so many people holding their book after this class. It's been incredible to watch these authors. So go over to HavilasAuthorSchool.com and go apply today. Okay, let's jump into part two of the intentional behavior series.
I really want to kind of look at this idea of how do we actually move between having and wanting to do something. So we're going to look at this first idea of finding a personal why. There's a lot of power when we choose to know why we're going somewhere, and then we end up having a lot of momentum to go where we want to go. In fact, I don't know any successful people in my life that don't have a personal why. It's kind of part of who they are. But I want to give you kind of a secret, if you will, or some understanding of how to get your personal why. So they did this study and they began to learn about this intrinsic motivation versus this extrinsic motivation. Easy for me to say, right? So if there's this intrinsic, which is like an internal motivation, or an extrinsic, which is an external motivation. And they started to kind of look at the difference and how people adjusted to that in their life. And what they found was that the intrinsic motivation is when you're doing something because you feel like it has personal meaning or satisfaction. It means something to you. That's why you do it. But an intrinsic motive is really about seeking to meet other people's expectations. So they said, okay, we're going to put two things in front of you, and you're going to either do it because you have a personal meaning and a satisfaction of doing it, or you're going to do it because you want to meet someone else's need. And they found that intrinsic motivation was way more beneficial to getting more done. In fact, they even realized through studying that it lit up different parts of your brain, which means there were parts of your brain where it began to activate. And the part of us that kind of has this extrinsic, meaning we're serving other people, it actually activates the brain where it's strongly associated with self-control and self-discipline. So that's just because everybody wants us to do it, or we know we should do it for somebody else. We end up just kind of activating a self-control or a more self-disciplined area in our brains. But when you do an intrinsic motivation, this is very interesting, it actually begins to light up the area in our brain that's associated with desires and needs. It connects to our feelings and our motivation. And there's actually a long distance in that. In fact, when we feel like things, when we actually have something we would rather do, we want to do rather than we have to do it, our brain lights up completely different and responds differently. And there's a lot more motivation to it. So I want to talk a little bit about our personal passion. You know, not everything falls into personal passion. I don't know about you, but I didn't always want to do everything I wanted to do. And often I remember someone once saying, you are good at the things you want to do, you do really well, but the things you don't want to do, you rarely do at all. And that's the truth. That's my personality. I know that you might have that tendency. And so I followed my personal why, but if it didn't touch my personal why, then why would I want to do it? And, you know, I started to kind of realize that we can actually find our personal why in things we don't want to do, but we can find out a motivation of why it means something to us or it's beneficial to us. I was thinking years ago when I was a young woman, 17, 18, 19, my sister and I opened up this cleaning business, and we were actually homeschooling one of our years. And so we had this extra time. We wanted to make some extra money to buy our car. And so this friend of ours said, I'll have you come over and you can clean my home twice a week, every month. And so we said, great, we'll do it. And she paid a good amount and we would go in, and she loved to cook. And she was one of those where she would get inspired at like 10 o'clock at night to make these huge meals. And she would use every single pot and pan in her kitchen. I mean, she would unpack it all. We would walk in on a Tuesday and we'd have to clean almost every bowl, every spoon. She had a family and kids, and we would spend a good 2 hours just cleaning her kitchen. And then we'd show up again on Friday and do the exact same thing over. And I remember thinking, I hate this job. I don't like doing this. This isn't fun. I don't like cleaning my own bathroom. Why would I want to clean somebody else's? And there was this moment when I had this idea, like, why don't we bring, and back in the day it was our tape recorder and a tape series, and let's take it with us and let's begin to learn these kind of ideas about God and his heart for us and these messages. And what I realized over time was that I was getting biblical training for hours a day because I was using that time to learn. And that became some of my most favorite, most treasured times in my life. You know, someone once said, try to find a job where you can learn something you need to learn, like on-the-job training, without it actually costing you. Like, I was thinking about my job at Moral Revolution. My husband and I led a nonprofit organization for 5 years, and we created curriculum, and we filmed, and we traveled. And I used to say, God, I don't know. Like, I have a passion for it, but I don't know if it's my life message. And I remember one of my leaders saying to me, Havila, how rare is it that you get to be paid for on-the-job training to learn how to write messages, to learn how to travel, to learn how to build relationships or whatever, or theology. This is a perfect job for you to learn who and what your personal why is. So I guess the question is, what is your personal why? And is there something within your everyday life that you can use to build your personal why? Maybe it's just, I want to learn self-discipline. I want to learn how to get up on time. I want to learn how to eat healthy. I want to learn how to forgive more. I want to learn how to serve. I often think my congregation is for four young children. That's how I learn to love, serve, and give without anything in return. So when I go to church and people actually applaud and they actually respond to my messages, I'm like, this is even better than my own congregation at home, my four boys. So again, we need to find our personal why in the middle of it. So not everything falls into that, but science tells us that we are more likely to get something done if we take a moment to think about why it matters to us personally. So for me, okay, I'm going to get up and do lunches. I hate lunches. Lunches are like, is anybody else out there? It's like, I don't want to make a lunch at 6 a.m. I can't think of what I want to give my kids at 6 a.m. But if I actually think about them, me serving my kids, and that they're going to open up their lunch every single day and know that they did not go without and mom thought about them, it is a personal why behind it. And also, it's cheaper, right, than having paid lunches. So that's part of it for me. And then also, when someone else hands us their why, we may not immediately have a personal reason to it. But if we kind of think about it, someone might say, I want you to set these chairs up, or I want you to serve in the nursery, or I want you to, you know, go over here and make a meal. We go, that doesn't really hit my personal why. But actually, if we think about it, the Bible says if we're not faithful in someone else's, we won't be given our own. So I'm just curious, are there areas that you're serving that may not be your personal why, but you're learning the character to withhold that which is your dream, your personal dream later on? And so here's some questions we can ask ourselves to find our personal why. The first one is, what bigger aspiration or value of mine does this task speak to? So it doesn't have to be, you know, blue for blue, red for red, green for green. It can have something within it that can we can even use. You know, my carpool, we have a 20-minute carpool for our kids twice a day. Well, I've used that to now be my podcast time. So you can utilize different areas. Maybe it's your time to pray. Maybe it's your time to worship. Maybe it's your time to think about something. Maybe it's your time to read a book or listen to a book. So figure out a way to use that personal moment that somebody else is utilizing your life to utilize it to build your personal why. Second one that you could ask yourself is, how does this request support something that matters to me? How does it support something that matters to me? And you may go, I don't know, like, I don't want to do this. Well, hold on, back up a little bit. Every powerful person that you're around, every healthy leader, Jesus served his home. He was a carpenter. He was a skilled carpenter. Did Jesus use his carpentry for the gospel? No, but he did use that life experience, those years of education and growth to build himself, to grow maturity, and to hold his gift and his calling for the 3 years that he would minister on the earth in that way. So again, how does it support it? And maybe you're just trying to fast forward the process a little bit. So again, on the job training, what are you getting paid to learn a new skill? So your action step today, or this week, I should say, is to find your personal why. What is it that matters to you? And can you articulate the why, the goal that matters to you, and how it will benefit something you care about? So ask yourself, what is my personal why? And how is it the things I don't want to do will connect? I'll say this. I'll give you one last thought. I remember I was struggling with eating healthy and exercising. 4 kids. I have macaroni and cheese around my house at all times. I have chips. I have stuff. And, you know, I know that I didn't necessarily hate my body. I think my husband liked my body, and I enjoyed that he liked my body. And I didn't have this kind of, I need to be healthy to be worthy. I just was like, oh, I'm just lazy in it. And I remember the Holy Spirit convicting me and saying, Havilah, You need to, like Paul talks about, you need to beat your body for the cause, meaning you need to get your body prepared for the cause, for what God's called you to. And you're not going to have longevity if you're fighting disease and sickness and obesity and fatigue. You're not going to be able to have the energy that you're called to build the calling. And so I had to find my personal why. My personal why wasn't so I'd look good, better in a bathing suit, although that's a benefit. My personal why was, I don't want to be exhausted as I carry the call of Christ in my life.
We hope you enjoyed that episode, and if you did, will you share it with a friend? Click the share button on the podcast app and send it over. You can also screenshot or screen record your favorite part and post it on your stories and tag us at Truth to Table. And stick around, because we have part 3 and part 4 of this intentional behavior series coming over the next 2 weeks, and it's very powerful. You're not going to want to miss it. And remember, if you need to write that book, applications for Havilah's Author School are now open. It's limited space. So make sure you go now to havilahsauthorschool.com, submit your application, and we cannot wait to see you inside the school. We'll see you next week.